Welcome to the Garbage Pod. One pod, one load of garbage.
29 and 28.
I've remanded in custody.
There's something curious about this broadcast.
Hello everybody and welcome to the second episode of the Garbage Pod Tap Room. Now, I'm not on my own. As always, I've got Adri Bullhawk-Mallows. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing very good, thank you, boss. Thank you for inviting me on for this second Tap Room episode. I'm looking forward to a few beverages or trying a few new beverages, especially as it's been a long day at work.
Now, this is going to be a bit of a triple whammy of a show because we've got two beers to try, very similar styles of beer from two different companies, and also we will be airing our trip to the GBBF, the Great British Beer Festival, which was back in August now, but this is the only opportunity we've had to get together, so we thought we'd hang on to it and play it in the show today. Quite an event, wasn't it, sir?
It was, absolutely. It was a great event at Olympia, and I'm quite looking forward to the audience basically hearing me drunk for most of this episode, it would seem. Loads of great beverages on offer that day, and some amazing food as well, actually.
There was. I mean, there was a massive, great big stack of pork scratchings, if I remember rightly.
It's not even a euphemism, is it? There actually was a great big pile of pork scratchings.
I don't know what our overseas listeners would call them. What do they call that in America? They do have it in pubs out there. I can't remember what they call it now.
I'm not sure. I'm going to go with rinds or something
pork
like
rinds.
That.
Yeah, pork rinds. But I would have thought, yeah. Before we get on to our trip to the Great British Beer Festival, I thought we'd try our first beer. So the first beer of the evening was given to us by Tring Brewery. The beer is called Pale 4, and we spoke with Ben Marsden at Tring Brewery, and this is what he had to say about the beer.
It's actually a collaboration that we did with a place in St Albans called Beer Shop. Beer Shop was set up over a year ago by one of the guys here, who also happens to be called Ben. And our beer's always on draft there. That's always on tap. But people were saying, can't Tring do something a bit more hoppy, basically? Mm-hmm. You know, we'd got Side Pocket, we got Crowning Glory and Moon Gazing, but they weren't punchy enough for some people. So he almost laid down the gauntlet and said, look, we'll suggest some styles. Let's work together to create something a bit different. So that's where Pale 4 has come from. Now, in terms of style, it's really it's sort of a West Coast, an American West Coast pale. The 4 comes from the fact that it's got 4 hops that make up the main kind of hop ingredients. So we've got American Simcoe, American Citra, Amarillo, and then we head to the Southern Hemisphere for some Australian Galaxy. Now, it's brewed with those 4 hops, and they're all going in sort of boil and post-boil. We've got the addition of Munich, Cara, rye crystal malt, there's a bit of wheat in there, Maris Otter, and the first batch we brewed, we used American yeast as well, rather than our own. We've done some successive brews, and we've now settled on using our yeast again. After we've brewed this and fermented it, we then transfer it from our fermenting vessel into a tank that we refer to as the Rocket, and it sits in there, goes through an additional 7 days conditioning, but we throw in another load of Citra hops, so we've got a dry hopping process in addition to everything that's gone in, and the result is a 4.6% pale. It's not overly pale, it's more golden, and it's pretty punchy, and we're exceptionally pleased with the results. We've done 2 cask runs which sold out in record time. We've done 1 bottle run, and I think we've probably got of 5,500 bottles, we've probably got maybe 300 left.
Wow.
That's all gone in the best part of a month. I think this beer is set to potentially become the new Side Pocket. It's been very well received.
So what kind of thing are we expecting to taste from the beer?
Well, what we've got here is you've got a lot of body, so all of the different malts that are in there are all going to give you different layers of flavour. So you're going to get some nuttiness in there, and that's primarily going to come from the Munich and the rye crystal. The caramel in there is going to give you a little bit of sweetness, and then you've obviously got all your hop characteristics coming in. Initially on the palate, it's not overly bitter, and what you will get on the nose is sort of grapefruit and orange, maybe it's sort of very, very slight marmalade characteristic. Mm-hmm. And then as you go through it, that sort of orange characteristic fades. There's a little bit more sort of grapefruit, lychee, a bit more freshness, and then it disappears. It's got a really nice bittering level to it, so it's not one of those beers where the bitterness just sits on the palate and just builds and builds every time you take a mouthful. Because those styles of beers, and you know, don't get me wrong, they work really well, but we want people to be able to, you know, kind of go and have a couple of pints in that, not to have one pint and feel like their taste buds and, you know, their time has just been completely stripped. You know, I've had experience with that. I'm sure you have.
Yeah, definitely.
You sort of sit down and you kind of think, I love that beer, but I couldn't drink another one. The bottle version isn't bottle conditioned, so effectively what we have done with that is it's cold filtered.
Right.
We don't pasteurise it. We always go for a cold filtering process, and then it's just softly recarbonated to try and, you know, to get it as close to the level of sort of condition and carbonation that you'd expect from a draft product.
So, Mr. Mallows, would you do the honours?
Of course, always, boss. Do anything you say, especially when it comes to opening beverages. So here we go.
No fear, make Homer something something.
Go crazy.
Don't mind if I do.
So, yes, I've brought out the Simpsons bottle opener. So what are you getting on the nose?
Yes, I can almost smell the citra. Let's get this pour in, though. Let's get the important things underway.
Oh, listen to the sound effects.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. You'll be able to use a few of these, my friend. Right, as the boss, there we go, sir.
Oops. Thank you very much.
One cappuccino mug full of IPA.
It is. It's a... I thought it was the right kind of size for sampling, really.
I just wish all my cappuccinos came like this. Do you reckon I could get away with this at work? Oh no, it's a cappuccino, look at the mug. Cheers.
Cheers.
I think you should take the first sip.
It's, as you would expect, it's a very citrusy kind of taste. And got a kind of a citrusy whiff as well.
Very much so, yeah. First we smell it, don't we, Phil? Indeed.
It's very light in taste.
You generally get that with IPAs, though, don't you? That's why I love them so much, because they're generally quite smooth and light. And you get the citrus twang as well.
And the colour of it is very is light as well. But it's more amber than your standard pale ale.
I was about to say, yeah, it's definitely more amber than the IPAs I'm used to drinking, especially from the States. So it's definitely got more of an ale-y colour to it, I would say.
Yeah, it's not like a bittery colour or whatever, but it's very a golden amber colour.
Seeing if I can try and pick out all the different flavours that you mentioned in that little piece there, but all I kind of get is just a general citrus flavour. Yeah,
But it's very nice. It's very light. I like it because it is light, and it, like he says, it's not one of these beers where it stays on your tongue for a long time. It disappears very quickly, which means you want to take down more of it.
I would definitely describe it as a session beer.
Oh yeah.
100%, or IPA, should I say, rather than calling it beer. I'm going to get in a lot of trouble for calling an IPA a beer, no doubt.
No, but well, a beer is a beer. You've got different styles of beer. I really do like this, actually.
This is my kind of IPA. This is, as I say, I would get very, very drunk very quickly off this, and I kind of plan to, if that's okay.
This is the kind of beer I'd like to try and draft.
What, draft night? That'd be a great idea. Come NFL draft, get a crate of this on the go, sit there watching the NFL draft and have some pale four on the go.
So it's sort of a nice, you know, a decent pub, you know, a quality pub.
Do we have them round Letchworth?
We have a few. More of them are on the outskirts, as you know, because we went to the Fox at Willian.
Oh, well, that's a fantastic pub, but that's Willian rather than Letchworth, so come on.
it's one of the villages that makes up the Garden City. So the Garden City is actually made up of three villages.
Letchworth, Willian and...
Norton.
Oh, right, okay. No worries. Obviously, you're going to try and claim it, the Fox, as a Letchworth Garden City pub.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay, well then that's one. Gardener's Arms, purely because of the carvery.
Yeah, and the one we've also been in the centre of town, which you quite enjoyed being in, which was the Arena Tavern.
Oh, yes.
Otherwise known as the King's Head.
Yeah, the King's Head. That was definitely a very, very nice pub.
And Bob, the owner, is absolutely a lovely fella. Absolutely lovely fella.
Nice enough to put something like this on tap for us?
Possibly. It'd be interesting to see what he's actually got on there at the moment, because he does change his beers quite regularly. I'll tell you another pub we'll have to go to at some point. It's in Baldock. It's called The Orange Tree. And it's actually won North Harts Camera Pub of the Year about 3 years in a row.
Ooh, but would it win Taproom Pub of the Year? That is a question. That is also potentially something else we could add to the show.
Definitely, that could be a thing we could do once we've sampled enough brews and whatnot, or we can find a decent, you know, decent pubs that actually sell the stuff that we've been reviewing.
Absolutely, yeah. And coming back to Pale Forks, I think we should. This is exactly what it said on the tin, and as described by Ben there, the bitterness does go straight away. It just leaves that nice kind of, just have a nice refreshing citrusy aftertaste.
Kind of, there's a bit of a warming feel there as well, which is, it's really nice. You could, I think, a lot of these lighter ales, these pale ales, are normally a summer brew, but I think you could really get away with drinking this any time of the year.
Absolutely, and I feel bad because it went down so well that my cappuccino mug is empty already, while the boss is still slowly... Oh, no, wait a minute. He's only gone and necked it. Someone drop a penny in that, did they, mate?
Oops.
Do we finish off the bottle? It seems like it would be rude not to.
I think so. So whilst we... take this down, I think we ought to listen to Ben Marston talking about Tring Brewery.
I'm actually out on location in technically Hertfordshire, but it's right on the borders of Hertfordshire.
Yeah, and as close as you can get.
Buckinghamshire, yeah. And I'm with Ben Marston from Tring Brewery. We're actually in the malt room, really, isn't it?
It is, yeah. This is On any normal day, this is probably the quietest room in the brewery, and as far as I'm concerned, it's probably the nicest smelling room in the whole brewery as well. Yeah, wonderful place to be.
And the reason why we're here is to have a chat and to find a little bit more out about Tring Brewery, and Ben has offered to let us try a beer for review. So... yeah, tell us a little bit about the brewery.
Yeah, well, the brewery has been around since 1992. We've currently got two directors. It's privately owned, and it was one of those directors, a chap called Richard Charlow, who founded the brewery. We were originally based over in the centre of Tring, and it was a small site. It was the only place that I worked where in the winter you got snowed on because there were holes in the roof. And it was there that I sort of cut my teeth in the brewing industry. So I actually learned to brew on that site for about a year. Problem with that place, even though it spawned some good brands for us, the likes of Ridgeway and Side Pocket and Death or Glory, was that we just couldn't produce enough beer. Mm-hmm. It was an 8-barrel brewery. We got to about 2007 and we were having to brew twice a day on the kit just to keep up with the customer demand. And we moved to the site that we're on now in 2010. And we've gone from an 8-barrel site to a 30-barrel site. So we are now producing around 31,000 pints of beer every week.
Wow.
it's about 1.8 million pints a year, and shockingly, most of that is consumed within a 30-mile radius. So there's a lot of beer fans out there.
That's not a bad thing that it's kind of a local beer and it's kind of kept local with that amount.
Yes.
Going out the door.
Yeah, and I think we've always been focused on locality and community. I mean, when people have asked us about the brewery before and the setup of the business, yes, we produce beer, but we're very much a sort of a community-focused brewery as well.
Yeah.
So we're engaged in a lot of local events. We do a lot of work for local charities, and to a degree, that is our way of giving something back to a community that really has supported us in terms of consuming our products and allowing us to grow in the way that we have. It was, you know, it was that support that really kind of was the decision maker for what we did in terms of our previous move. We could have probably moved outside of Tring and found, you know, cheaper property or property with greater footfall somewhere else in the region. But, you know, Tring was the home of the brewery. And anyway, we'd have had to change the name. We'd have gone from Tring Brewery to being, I don't know, Aston Clinton Brewery. That just wouldn't work.
I know of other breweries that have done that but kept the name and it got a bit confusing.
Exactly, yes, yeah. Why have you called yourself Tring Brewery when you're based in Hemel Hempstead? Yeah, it's a little bit of an odd one. So, we decided to stay where we are just for the simplicity of the paperwork.
Fair enough. Now, you say you've got like your stock beers that you've had for quite a few years.
Yes.
Do you have like limited edition batch beers as well?
We do, yeah. I mean, that volume of product I was talking about, sort of the 1.8 million, is divided up typically over about 25 different beers.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a core range, we've got seasonal beers, and then we do monthly specials. And the monthly specials tend to be more experimental. And for 2012, 2013, all of our monthly specials, we just used existing or experimental or brand new UK hop varieties.
Mm-hmm.
2014, we used hop varieties from all around the world. So we had unusual things in there like Argentinian Cascade. And then we've just played around with different malts, really. This is this year, that's been one of the key things. 2016, I'm not quite sure what's going to happen, but there will be more unusual beers and more experimental beers and more one-off beers on the horizon. And the reason for that, and this is a hot off the press bit of news, is that alongside the 30 barrel brew kit we have here, we're going to be putting in a smaller 5-barrel brew kit, and then a tiny 2-barrel brew kit. And essentially what that's going to allow us to do is be far more experimental. The size that we have here doesn't really permit us to go too crazy. When you're brewing, you know, thousands of pints of beer,
mm-hmm.
you can't go crazy and then find that it hasn't worked out right.
Yeah.
You don't want to be pouring it down the drain. So the smaller setup will allow us to do that. It will allow us to produce smaller bottle runs. So there'll be some more unusual things coming out of the brewery. It will allow us to extend on some of the products that are at the extreme end of our range. So the likes of Deathful Glory at 7.2%. Crowning Glory, which you've previously covered, and the new Pale 4.
Brilliant. So, out of your stock brands that you do,
yes,
which would you say was the one that sells the most?
The one that sells the most is still Side Pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Side Pocket seems to have... Side Pocket came out at a time when there was a particular style that was prominent. So, Summer Lightning was another one that was similar to that. Dark Stars, Hophead. There was very much a sort of a demand for those, not particularly over strong, but straw session beers mm-hmm. with a nice hop characteristic. And Side Pocket really kind of seemed to hit the mark, partly because it had those characteristics, but partly because it was only 3.6%, and it drinks like a 4. So, you know, it falls into the category of a very, very low ABV session beer.
Right.
And that is by far our biggest seller. I think probably 20% of what we sell is that product. And then that's followed on by Ridgeway. And Ridgeway has been, we've been brewing that since day one. And we've got accounts that have been taking it since we started brewing. So it's, you know, it's got a real hardcore list of followers. After that, I think it's quite possibly our the culmination of our monthly specials,
right?
That make up our largest largest sales. We've then got sort of our darker beers in the range, and darker beers are never really going to be the big sellers. Mm-hmm. Like Collie's Dog, Tea Kettle Stout, Death or Glory. Tea Kettle Stout, we really pushed a few years ago, 2013. It won Champion Beer of Hertfordshire.
Wow.
And we really pushed it. So the sales of that have increased massively. And we now have that in the shop as a bottle-conditioned version all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much in cask all year round as well.
It's been brilliant talking with you, Ben.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
And hopefully we can work with you in the future.
Yeah, no, I'd love to. And you're more than welcome to come back, sample some beers. And as I say, when we've got this new kit up and running, there might be something absolutely ridiculous for you to try.
Brilliant. Ben, thanks again.
Thank you.
That was Ben Marston telling us all about Tring Brewery, and there will be links to Tring Brewery and all the beers they do on the show notes. Now, you might have to excuse us during the show. We might have to make a call to the mothership every now and then because there is a little bit of gassiness in the beers. But when we come back, we will be going to London.
It begins.
What'll it be?
Well, that was obvious.
Pints,
beer,
drinks,
shots,
fun,
ladies,
drugs.
We are here to get annihilated.
Annihilated. Annihilated. Might I recommend 5 pints of crowning glory?
Is it nutty?
Nutty.
Is it foamy?
Foamy.
Is it hoppy?
Hoppy.
Does it have a surprisingly fruity note which lingers on the tongue?
That's a delightful brew.
And since we find ourselves in need of refreshment, you, sir, have the honour of drawing first blood.
I come to you from Londinium, the capital of our great nation. I'm not alone. I'm with the Bullhawk. How you doing, sir?
Doing very good, thank you, boss. It's going to be a great day today. I can feel it already as we are in our nation's capital, the great fair city of London. And we are at a very special exhibition in London.
Yeah, we are currently standing outside the Olympia Exhibition Hall. And it's the 11th of August as we speak, which can only mean one thing. We are here for the GBBF, the Great British Beer Festival. And it's your first time, isn't it?
Yeah, first time at the GBBF. And there seems to be a bit of theme going on, because the last time I was on the show was also for another beer festival. So let's keep this one up.
Yeah, this one's going to be slightly different to the one you attended last.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, being the National Great British Beer Festival, lots more people, lots more stages, being in such a great venue like the Olympia. It's going to be interesting to see what kind of ales, ciders and beverages I'll be tasting today.
Well, from what I've been reading, there's going to be over 900 beers, ciders, perries and international beers, so be able to get some American ones as well. Not only that, they're covering over 352 different breweries today.
Do we have enough time in the day for that, is my next question.
I wouldn't even attempt it.
Yeah, it does sound like quite a mission. I think even I need to play it safe today, so get my nice fair samples in, try a different selection from across the globe and see what happens.
I think, honestly, even if you were here for the whole duration, which is from here to the 15th, I think, I still don't think you'd be able to get to all 900.
I'd give it my best shot if I was. I think then I may need to report to a certain clinic.
Yeah. I believe it's called the Priory.
Yeah. That is indeed the one. But let's try and avoid that, shall we? But yep, so looking forward to the beautiful sights, sounds, smells and looks of London and the Olympia.
So yep, so we shall make our way forward. As you, I don't know if you can hear this coming towards us right now. There's the sound of horses. I believe they might be Clydesdale horses, which are normally the horses that pull the horse and carts that used to contain the barrels of beer back in the days before we used to use lorries. But they are certainly beautiful animals.
Absolutely they are.
Uh, And this is advertising one of the big five of the breweries that are taking part in the main stands, which is Harvey's and Lewis, which is the Sussex brewery. And they have a big stand here today. And as you can see, having the horse and cart is a massive presence.
Yeah, great advertising for them. What a great way to let everyone know that you're here. And as you say, such beautiful creatures, horses. I've always had such admiration for them, just like my old man. So, yeah, great to see.
Are you trying to say your old man's a horse?
No, I'm saying he loves horses.
Oh, right.
But that's obviously... take that how you will, but I'm talking about the creatures. My stepmum is lovely, so don't even go there.
Fair enough. Right. And on that bombshell, we'll leave you there and come back to you later.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the 38th Great British Beer Festival. This is my first as the Chief Executive of Camra, and I feel like a young boy who's been let loose in a sweet shop. It's the most wonderful experience. This is a great showcase for British and international brewing and a celebration of the art of brewing. And there are present here today many craftsmen, many who use great skill to produce excellent beer. I use the word craftsman deliberately. Now, of course, not everybody who produces great beer is here. There's only scope to have 300 British breweries represented, just over 350 of the beers that are produced in this country. But in total, more than 900 drinks. I think I'd just like to start by congratulating you and encouraging you to join with me in congratulating yourselves, or if you're not brewers, congratulating those who produce some really great knockout beer, which you've had the opportunity to drink this afternoon and others will have over the next 5 days. So pause for applause, shake your glasses, bang them together, well done. It's difficult to clap when you're holding a pint. This is Camra's 44th year. In the beginning, Camra was established to provide drinkers and to ensure that drinkers will continue to be provided with choice and great beer. And the campaign in those days was for the survival of real ale and for the promotion and growth in its availability and consumption. More recently, Camra has become involved in campaigning to ensure that real ale is available to drinkers. And in order to have real ale available, frankly, we need pubs. So we've been campaigning on pubs and we've been campaigning on price. Now, these are generic campaigns to the benefit not just of those of us who love real ale, but to all drinkers and indeed all pub goers. Let me remind you that over the past 12 months, Camra has gained a fairer deal for some of those running pubs as tenants, and the pubs code and the adjudicator are about to be implemented. We've been campaigning and successful in giving communities a greater say in whether pubs remain open and or whether they're closed or converted to another use. And also, we, with others, were instrumental in gaining a third cut in beer duty and in preserving the tax concession for the small volume cider producers. Now, those were great achievements, I'm sure you'll agree. I just want to give thanks to one or two people. Firstly, to Olympia for providing a great venue, to the sponsors, and particularly Simply Hops, who sponsored today the trade session, to Ian and the organisers, 1,000 volunteers involved in this. I've been here since Saturday, been absolutely amazed at the logistical operation which enables all of this to be put together. It's incredible. But my final vote of thanks is to you, the brewers who produce great beer, the publicans who serve it in your establishments, the people who hold the licenses in those pubs. I thank you on behalf of those who you serve, the customers, because that's Camra's purpose, to represent those customers. This festival is all about discovery, discovering the wide variety of different beers, the new tastes that have been developed, and we'll be encouraging the public to do that over the next few days, both here in Olympia, but also in their local pubs, and we need them to support those pubs. Thank you.
So here we are again at the Great British Beer Festival 2015 at Olympia, and as you can hear, it's getting quite loud and blary downstairs, more so later when the announcements are made. Still with the Bullhawk, how are you finding your day here today?
Yeah, very good actually. It's just starting to fill up quite nicely. We're upstairs at the moment looking down on quite the sea of people. The smell of food has been fantastic throughout the day, making me very, very hungry. But I'm a purist at the moment, so I'm just focusing on my alcohol.
Yeah, too right. We've sampled some interesting beers and ciders so far. We've had, I think it's two each we've had now, hasn't it?
This would be our third glass, so you've obviously had too many that you can't keep counting, so we've had two beverages and a cider, so three.
I'm probably not counting cider as an alcoholic beverage, but that might be a mistake.
I think it probably would be, depending on the strength of cider that you had, because as I found out at the last beer festival, you can get some very strong cider.
Yeah, we've had some really interesting drinks. One of the ones that has surprised me so far this year is the Durham White Stout.
Yep, you heard that correctly, folks. He said white stout. Very, very deceiving on the eyes, and when you taste it, it tastes exactly like a stout, but you just don't realise you're drinking it.
It just looks like an IPA or something like that, and it just, I don't know what it did to my mind, but it wasn't working properly after that, I can tell you.
Yeah, it was very much a mind-blown situation, wasn't it? Yeah, your eyes are telling you one thing, and your taste buds are telling you another, and you're like, what's going on? But it's still very nice, though.
It was. And the one you had from Titanic Brewery, the Plum...
Oh, the Plum Porter, the Titanic, yep. As I said earlier on, a little bit of the old social cam going on. It went down far too easily.
It was a very nice taste. You were taken aback by my comment by saying it tasted like a cough mixture, which it was nice and sweet like a cough mixture is. Goes down just as well as a cough mixture, but trust me, you don't want to be down in cough mixture. It'll have some effect on you afterwards.
I'm sure it would do, but as it wasn't cough mixture, it was a beautiful plum porter. It just went down so easy. What can I say? I would drink that again and again. I could spend a night on that, I think, and be quite happy.
Now, I've started on a cider, which is it's a blue barrel oak barrel whiskey cider. Now, why it's called that is pretty much speaks for itself, really. It's been produced in old whiskey barrels, which gives it a little bit of an edge. And when you take your first swig of it, you notice it. And I like that. It reminds me... So the announcements will be made in 15 minutes, as we've just been told. And this whiskey barrel cider reminds me of the Innis & Gunn beers. They do a range of beers that are in, they do a whiskey barrel ale, they do a rum barrel ale, and they're finding lots of other barrels of old alcohol that they can distill their beers in. And this pretty much reminds me of that also. So I'm looking out for something similar to that on the beer front. We have seen some unusual ones that we are going to be looking for. At the moment, Adri is looking through the guide trying to find the one we were looking for.
It's a big old guide. There's a lot of things to buy through, but you just see my memory about thinking of the different ways things are brewed and the different barrels things are brewed in. I do remember seeing things with coffee, licorice, things along those kind of lines in them. So,
well, you did try a coffee based one earlier, didn't you?
I did. Yeah, that was the breakfast porter that I tried from Hastings, I believe. Again, yeah, it's, you get the nice little coffee aroma when you're kind of just swirling it around, getting nice. So I'm trying to become a bit better with my beer tasting analogies, so you definitely get that aroma as you swirl it around in the glass, and then when you taste it, you get a little bit of that coffee kick as well.
Yeah, you're trying to you're trying to kick that title of craft beer virgin
that was kindly given to me by the good folks at the Brit and Yankee
ding, when they ding, were ding,
exactly
ding.
When they were getting me nicely drunk, which was an amazing experience, which is nearly a year ago, which is quite crazy.
Yeah, because you were there around Halloween, wasn't you?
Yeah, October time. Yeah, Halloween. That was like my last day in Chicago, but. Yeah, great experience. Hope those guys are doing very well. Wish them all the best. Brit and Yankee, keep up the good work. Keep getting people drunk. Enjoy your beers. And I'm still looking, so maybe I will have found it later. But you get the idea that there's lots of different ways that people are looking to brew their beer and ale in. So if we find one of the coffee / licorice beers later, I'm sure we will let you know all about it.
Yeah, well, there's one in particular that we are going to be looking for, which is called... I think you said it was called the Venom, wasn't it?
Ah, yes, the Venom, which is the green.
You did hear that right. Green ale. Bright green ale. And that's going to be an interesting one.
Yep, and I found that. So that is by Potbelly from Northamptonshire. And apparently we're not going to be seeing things. Yes, it is green.
And ideally for me, it's only 5.5, so... we might be able to get away with a half on that, maybe, depending on how it tastes, of course.
Well, what we do need to do for all of our lovely listeners is we need to find it, buy it, get a picture of it, put it in the show notes for you.
Oh, it's definitely one to go in the show notes as a picture, because you don't often see green beer.
So are you taking the onus there? Are you going to have some Venom so I can go with something else? Is that what we're going to go with?
It sounds like it's heading that way, doesn't it?
Well, you are the boss.
Might as well.
Well, I think it's your duty as the boss to do these things. You've got to take one for the team, so you'll let people know how you get on. or maybe you won't, depends on how good the Venom is.
Yeah, it could be the state of the beer, it might be the state of the floor, I don't know. we'll find out later on.
Indeed. And until then, ciao for now.
The overall winners of the Camera Champion Beer of Britain Awards 2015 are as follows. The bronze winner, Dancing Duck, Dark Drake. The silver winner, Kelburn Jaguar. And the Champion Beer of Britain 2015 Gold Award goes to Tiny Rebel Clutch.
Pass it to the brewer. Pass it to the brewer. The main thing we want to do is just thank the whole of the Tiny Rebel team, who are kind of somewhere at the back over there, because it's not just myself and Gaz. It started off with the two of us, but now there's a big team around us of about 11 who everyone chips in. It's not just us no more. It's a family thing. It's a friends thing. And yeah, we're absolutely amazed to have won this, really. Yeah, it's amazing. You know, a small microbrewery coming from Newport, where Newport isn't a big beer place. It's not known for brewing at all. So for a small micro to come from Wales to win this, it's absolutely amazing. And just want to thank you all for the support. And yeah, come on, Kutch.
We're back again at the 2015 Great British Beer Festival at Olympia. Still with the ball hawk, just about.
Yeah, pretty much. I've been doing well. I've been pacing myself. I've been drinking thirds, doing it the smart way, so I don't feel too drunk.
And you might hear some weird and wonderful noises behind us at the moment, and the reason for that is they've got a stand here that you can play some traditional pub games, including Skittles, and I'm not too sure. What is that other one? Ball in the barrel, it's called.
Yeah, it's cool. I can't think of what the official name. I want to say shuffleboard, but I think that's a different game.
That's a different game altogether. And you also heard a bell ring in there. That doesn't mean last orders.
Yeah, exactly. I haven't been here that long yet.
It basically means that somebody's won a prize. So yeah, it's great. Now we're trying one of our
It's also looking very green right now. It's looking very green when you see it in this light. Look at that.
Yeah, it's... I didn't describe it in a very good light earlier when I said it's almost like someone's been eating asparagus.
Yes, it also smells like that. Only joking.
The actual smell is an unusual smell. It's almost like a caramel or a toffee or something like that. The taste of it is almost like an IPA or something very light, a summer beer.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, again, it's one that's quite actually easy on the palate, bearing in mind its name.
Yeah, I was expecting something with a bit more of a kick. This would be called Venom. And they advertised it as being bright green. Yes, it's green, but it's more like extra virgin olive oil colour.
It does kind of have that look to it. It's very, hey Stifler, how's the pale ale kind of?
But not as bright as I was expecting it to be. But it's a nice beer. It's a summer... I mention them quite a lot, these kind of barbecue summer beers.
And I'm thinking we picked a great spot to do this final recording, in between the Skittles and the prize bell. And so hopefully you're managing to hear what we say in between the rattling and ringing and all sorts of shenanigans going on around us.
It's perfectly fine. It's it will add to the atmosphere, but it gives you an idea of what's going on here. It's your first GBBF. How has it been for you?
It's been very good, and as a aptly named craft beer virgin, like I say, last year by the lovely Mr. Clark, it's my first GBBF, and atmosphere is great. Everyone seems to be having a fantastic time. The addition of the game is always quite good, because when you get drunk, you always like to try and prove yourself. So, especially if you're here with a partner, it seems that you think that the harder you bowl, the better you're going to get. But we know that's not necessarily the case. And all in all, the food smells absolutely amazing as well. Just a great atmosphere.
Yeah, and as like you say on the games, it actually says on the sign, it's all about skill and not about speed. But as you can hear, some of these players are actually trying to kill people with these balls by the sound.
Yeah, you can kind of liken it to a fine woman, really, can't you? It's all about skill rather than speed. Speed gets you in a lot of trouble.
Yeah. That's all I can say to that.
Yes, yeah, that is quite a conversation killer. But how are you enjoying the Venom?
Yeah, it's going down.
Are you yelling timber?
Some of our older audience.
It's kicking in.
You're referring to a song, I believe, in the charts, or has been in the charts.
True, if we were to say Pitbull and Kesha, people probably would think that it's a crazy girl with a ravenous dog.
Or an old man.
But, yeah.
Which kind of is, but we'll leave that there.
As I said earlier, all in all, I think this has been a tremendous day. It's been great sort of to experience this for the first time, something I'd like to do again, just to kick back when I should be at work, drinking beer and having a great time.
Yeah, so we'll leave it there, and we'll come back to you again in a little while. So here we are at the end of the day. We're outside Olympia now. It's a little bit more quieter. But now you're getting like taxis and tube trains and all sorts of stuff going on around us. So for you, what was the, when I say highlight of the day, probably your favourite brew, I would say.
You know what? There's been quite a few. I did quite like the Bristol Blonde that I had, you know. Being a blonde man myself, these things happen. And also the cider, the Celtic Warrior, which was very, very smooth on the palate and very refreshing. Again, one of those summer ciders. Cider is a summer drink anyway, isn't it? You can just kind of sit drinking it all afternoon while you're watching the football, or American football, or LFL even. So, you know, it's one of those beers. But, you know, what about yourself? What was your highlight?
Well, for me, it's a difficult one because I've had so many different types of beer today. I think, like yourself, I did enjoy the cider, and it was great as a palate cleanser. But as I said, my one was had a bit of a kick to it because it was brewed in an old whiskey barrel, which I liked that. Texture to it.
You did have quite a whiskey face afterwards. You had that sort of look like you'd just had something that you didn't really want.
It did taste nice though, I must admit. It was just the initial kick. It did kick. But I think for me, and we've mentioned it before on the other parts of the recordings here, is probably the white stout, because that I've never had anything like it. Apart from those, do you remember those sweets that you could get that was one colour but tasted like another?
Yes, I do, yeah. And you've also got the chocolates now, haven't you? The vice versas.
Yeah. That was the nearest thing to it in that respect. But to have an ale that looks like it should be nice and citrusy and summery, and then to try it, and it was very dark and wintry.
Dark and twisted.
It was a mind blower. But as I say, we've had a really good day today. The press and trade day is about to end. As we can see right now, the crowds are starting to really pile up now for the actual general public to actually visit the day, and the queues are absolutely moosive, aren't they, really? I mean, they go right along the whole length of the building.
They do indeed, and I think we just kind of want to take the opportunity as well to say that I think Camera have done a fantastic job with organising the event. As it's my first one, obviously not sure how they've gone previously, but I think very well organised, inside lots of obviously stalls, bars, food, kind of seating, everything you need for a good beer festival, really. I know there's obviously going to be some live entertainment coming on the stage later on, so just want to say a big shout out to them for organising such a great event.
Yeah, Camera always do a good job of beer festivals, no matter where they are. But obviously this is the jewel in the crown of the beer trade industry. And they never fail to give the people what they need, or want, more to the point.
Yeah, well, if that isn't an innuendo, I don't know what is, my friend.
I got what you want. But yeah, it's been a really great day, and on that note,
we're starting to get wet.
We are indeed, by the weather, that is. And we've met some people today. I actually met some people from the local facility for me, because they actually helped to organise the Hitchin Beer Festival. A chap there called Martin, and he's a good lady, who have completely different tastes when it comes to beer. When I was talking to him, when I asked Martin what he actually liked as in beers, and he just said beer, I said, well, that's good enough for me. And he's good lady, he's trying to find the best possible citrusy beer that she can probably find.
And there was lots of them to choose from, so I'm sure she would have had a whale of a time.
So from us at Olympia in London, we bid you farewell, and back to the studio.
Indeed.
That was our visit to the Great British Beer Festival, and as you heard halfway through there, we had the announcements of the champion of beers, which was Tiny Rebels Clutch. Now, it makes a change, because they're a small brewery. Usually it's the big boys that win, and last year one of the big boys actually won, and they actually got booed.
Wowzers.
Which didn't go down too well. But it was amazing to actually have a small independent brewer actually winning the title this year. And you heard also there Tim Page, the chief executive of Camera, welcoming us all to the Great British Beer Festival. And then you heard us rabbling on for a little while there.
Of course, well, we do like to rabble, especially when we're drinking. It's just part of the course. So hopefully you all enjoy that.
Yeah, we enjoyed it. So
we always do.
we
got let out for a change.
Yeah, it's really good that we can get press accreditation for these events. I mean, it's the second year in a row now. Gia managed to get Alan Taylor Shearer on board.
The Mr. Taylor Shearer. The one and only.
and you wanted to come last year, but work commitments you couldn't actually get out of, so...
No, unfortunately not. I'm not working there anymore, funnily enough, but... just by the by. Yeah, if you don't let me out of work for a beer festival, then people are going to be in trouble. That's how it is. I got out of work this year for it, so it should be okay.
Yeah. And they're already starting to make announcements for next year, so
we need to just plan that date in our diary as to when we're going to get royally drunk.
That's the word I would use rather than any other. We're going to try and get another guest on the beer show for the beer festival next year if he can make it. It would be fantastic to get him along, and that would be Beer Show Jimmy.
Beer Show Jimmy, wow. The man, the legend. The man, the myth, the legend. The man, the myth, the legend, the author.
Yes, he is, isn't he? And yeah, it'd be fantastic to get Jimmy's input, because his knowledge of beer is quite big.
Again, well, he wouldn't be one of the... I don't want to say servers, that's the wrong word. Bartenders, there you go.
He is one of the bartenders at the Britain Yankee. So...
Yeah, some may say the voice of the Britain Yankee, you know. Sorry, Phil. Got a reference, Phil, just because obviously they got me royally off my face when I was out in Chicago.
Yeah, but that's down to not beer, that's down to something else. That was
it was a combination, to be fair. It was the beers in the Britain Yankee and some stouts and some shots in the bar afterwards. But anyway, yeah, I probably talked about that too much, but I was really appreciative of what they did, so you know, just sharing that.
Whilst I was at Tring Brewery, I was talking to Ben a little bit about the GBBF, and this was his reaction to the winners.
What was really good is that Tiny Rebel are a Welsh brewery. They're not a massive brewery.
No.
Their branding is pretty edgy. They've got a very defined style in the beers that they present. And the beers are good. I've not had a bad beer from their range, mm-hmm. And that's true of a lot of breweries. But there are others where you just kind of think, how on earth is that place surviving? You know, who's drinking this and telling them that it's all right? It was really good to see them actually pick up that award, and to see somebody that was smaller and progressive and also in a position to be influential as well. You know, it wasn't just a case of here's a small brewery that's doing something really ridiculously niche, let's give it to them for their efforts. It was, you know, it's a brewery that actually can genuinely build upon what they've done so far. Yeah, so definitely. Yeah, we all commented here at the brewery that it was a very, very refreshing
thing to see.
It was nice, and I think within the industry as well, a lot of people would be quite pleased to see that was the result.
And I think it gives other breweries the outlook that if they can do it,
yes,
we can do it.
Yeah,
and because in the past it's been a case of, well, it's always going to be the same old kind of people that win these awards.
Yeah.
But doesn't seem to be that way anymore.
No, it doesn't. And I'll be honest, I've not actually looked at the other results. But I think it was a good decision by Camera as mm-hmm. well, because obviously as an organisation, people look to the decisions they make in terms of the winners of GBBF, and you know, there's a lot of other beer competitions out there, but when GBBF is still, certainly within the public domain, one of the biggest
big ones. Yeah.
If you're inside of the industry, you know that there's lots of others that are, you know, arguably more valuable to win. it made sense for Cameron to actually look outside the larger, you know, obvious choices, mm-hmm. and pick somebody different and pick somebody deserving of it as well.
Yeah, that's for sure.
It was a good result. Really good result.
What we will do, we'll put all the results of the GBBF from all the different categories in the show notes, as well as the beers and ciders that we tried on the day. So you can go and have a look and maybe try them for yourself.
And can I just say one final thing on that? Is it wrong that when I hear Tiny Rebel, I think of a pint-sized Luke Skywalker?
I'm a Jedi, like my father before me.
I wouldn't put it past them to put something like that on their bottles as their artwork.
If they don't, maybe they should. Just make it slightly different to the original Star Wars drawing so that you don't infringe on copyright.
Well, with the movie coming out in December, they could make a killing on this, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's very true. Fair play to them.
When we come back, we'll be trying the next beer.
Bit Yankee.
If I come into your pub, will I get a firkin of ale?
Certainly, sir. You can have a firkin pie, you can have firkin fish and chips, and watch the firkin football on the firkin telly. Bloody Americans.
Well, our barman may be a bit of a lad, but two lads you won't want to miss are Phil Clark and Mike Lingerfelter down at the Brit and Yankee. Join them every fortnight in Chicago's very own online British pub, where you'll join in some good old pub chat and perhaps even enjoy a pint of your favourite ale. Check the boys out at www.thebritandyankee.com, and remember, no MP3 player or iPod is necessary. All you need is a computer and some speakers. So we'll see you down the pub, and until then, cheers!
So welcome back. We're just about to try the next beer from Vale Brewery, and it's called Gravitas. And I spoke to a guy called Alex Smith at the Vale Brewery. Well, actually, I wasn't at the Vale Brewery. We were at the Hot Pole in Aylesbury. And this is what Alex had to say about the beer.
It's 4.8%. It's pale American single hopped ale, and it's, as I say, a nice pale colour. And it only a couple of months ago won Reading Beer Festival,
wow,
2015. So it's the best beer within a 70-mile radius of Reading, which the brewery is about 69 miles as the crow flies. So
we just
about got into it. Good job that we did.
So what kind of things can we expect to get from the beer?
So from the Gravitas, it's single hopped and it's brewed with American hop called Cascade.
Yeah.
We originally started brewing it back in 2006. And back then, the golden hoppy beers were just starting to take off. And with Cascade, as you get with a lot of American beers, there's big sort of citrus notes to it. So the first thing you'll get from it is the aroma of the Cascade hop, which is sort of citrus, grapefruity, quite sort of lychee flavours.
Mm-hmm.
And then the taste is exactly the same as that, so it's quite light. The most predominant taste is that you get from the hops. It's 4.8%, but it doesn't drink like a 4.8%. You can have sort of three or four without realising it, and it just slips down. Drinks like a session ale, which sort of helps obviously with the success of it as well. And then the sort of the finish has got a sort of a light malt taste to it, but again, it's predominantly the American hoppy sort of bitterness to it.
So we have a phrase that we ask anybody who's trying a beer at the time. Is it a sipper or a supper? So that sounds to me like it's a...
A glugger.
Yeah. That'll be a supper, yeah.
Yeah.
it sounds to me like a summery kind of beer as well.
It is, yes. I mean, there's a lot of pubs. I mean, as I say, it's on permanent in the Hot Pole. What we find with a lot of them is around sort of the bank holiday weekends, and also, as I say, when the sun's out like today, a lot of the pubs that might not usually be able to shift strong ale, they know that people are going to sit out in the sunshine, and as you said, yeah, you just knock them back in the sun. But also, it goes well in the winter. It's not, obviously there's seasonality to beers.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would agree with you on the summer aspect of it.
So, Mr. Mallows, would you like to do the honours again?
It, Yeah, I would. It sounds like it's going to be trouble, because he said you don't notice it how many you drink as you're drinking it. So, yeah, it's probably a good job we only have one bottle at this current stage. Hang on. Sorry, Homer.
Oh, crazy.
Don't mind if I do.
Which reminds me that we met the Duff Man recently.
We did. We'll have to put a photograph of us with Duff Man, actually. It was at an event that I'm mentioning right across the board on our podcast. It was an event called Field of Force Day, and you will be able to hear all about that if you listen to our TGP Nominal podcast.
It was an amazing event. If I can just say, while I'm pouring the beverage, a great idea, a great cause. And I don't think there's a single person that left that event without a smile on their face. I mean, it was the first kind of Comic-Con I've been to. I know it would be covered more on the podcast, but It was amazing. The people there, phenomenal, just so nice. And the reason behind the day, as people will hear on that podcast, is just amazing. The fact that someone went out of their way to do that and the success it's having now is well deserved.
Yeah, it definitely was one of the highlights of the Garbage Pod umbrella, should I say.
And I'm also going to just quickly mention, because I'm sure there'll be a photo of it, but I met my alien queen. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, definitely stay tuned to TGP Nominal for photographs of that.
Anyway,
back to the beer.
There's gravitas back to the beer.
Yeah, it's definitely more of a pale ale in colour.
A lot lighter than the last one.
Yeah.
Not as strong a smell, I don't think.
Not as strong at all. It's you really have to struggle to get it. You do get a kind of a citrusy smell, but you really have to struggle to get it.
But you know what? Sometimes, depending on what mood I'm in, I sometimes prefer it like that. I don't mind a little bit of the citrus flavour, and I loved our last ale that we had on, absolutely, which I don't think we actually rated, which I believe is something we should have done.
So we can do that after we've tried them both?
No problem. But yeah, this one, not so much of a citrus smell to it, but how does it taste is the next question.
This is true.
He's having to go back for another sip. Check that out. He wasn't quite sure of the first one.
That is incredibly light. It's not as deeper flavours as the Pale 4, but that's probably because of the amount of hops that was in the Pale 4.
Yeah, and you can see just by having a sip or two exactly what it means, that you could drink a lot of it and not even realise, because it just goes down so well.
I mean, that's four sips just there, just going, I'm not too sure about this, but it's nice.
It's not just the ale that's a gulper, Mr. Taylor is too.
It is a nice beer.
This is lovely. I mean, you can probably tell by the silence how much it's being enjoyed. We're on a podcast, silence doesn't work.
It does in many respects when you're actually tasting something, because it's showing that you're enjoying what you're drinking. And the fact is that we've got two very, very similar beers, but completely different in many respects.
It could show that you're too drunk to talk. And then maybe you'd be slurring your words.
Trying not to,
and doing a good job, I think. Yeah, you're right though, they couldn't be more contrasting, could they?
No, that's a good thing though, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%.
I wouldn't say they're poles apart, because they're both in enjoyable beers, but the fact that they're the same style of beer but with different flavourings, different hops, and was you about to contact the mothership then?
I did discreetly, hopefully, if no one heard that. One thing I was going to say as well is, whereas the last one there was that slight bitterness that does go away, with this one there doesn't seem to be any bitterness at all.
And that's probably why I was struggling to get the aroma straight away.
He's getting the taste all right, though.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I'm really enjoying this. No, it's you can understand why it's an award winner.
Yeah, you can, 100%. So it's the best beverage within 70 miles of Reading.
Within the radius of Reading.
As the crow flies.
Yeah.
Doesn't fly very far if it's had a few of these, though, does it?
Well, just getting in there at 69 miles, that's...
Is that when the crow had enough? one too many beverages at some village pubs on its way between Reading and Aylesbury.
Mm-hmm. But the actual brewery itself is in Brill. And what I'll do now is play in a little bit from Alex again as he takes us round the microbrewery, the brew house at the Hot Pole. So I'm here at the Hot Pole in Aylesbury, and I'm with Alex Smith from Vale Brewery. How are you doing?
Yeah, good, thank you very much. Nice and warm here for once.
It is, it's a lovely day in Aylesbury. Now, the reason why I'm in the Hot Pole with Alex is, as you know, we're going to be doing a beer review show every now and then, and I contacted Alex and said, would Vale Brewery like to be involved? And he said, that'd be great. Tell us a little bit about the brewery.
So Vale Brewery started back in 1995. It was a couple of brothers, Mark and Phil Stevens. They had the brilliant idea that they wanted to brew beer. They both had a background in sort of the brewery side of things, and as with a lot of people are doing now, they started their own brewery. They originally started in Haddenham, set up on a small little brew kit, brewing about 20 firkins at a time, which is about 1,400 pints a brew. And sort of went from there. The first pub that they actually got beer into was the Rising Sun in Haddenham and the Plough in Marsh Gibbon. And yeah, it expanded from there. So after a good few years, they sort of outgrew the premises they were in and moved up to Brill, where we currently are, in 2007.
Right.
And then in 2010, got brand new shiny kit from Canada. And now we can brew 80 casks at a time, so it's a 20 brewer's barrel kit. That's the sort of background to from where they started to where they are now. We brew 8 core beers. I won't go through all of them because it'll be really like a bit of a list. The two sort of main beers, I'll say 3 main beers, is one of the beers that I hope you're going to review and talk about in a bit. The other one is Red Kite. Which is named after the bird that was flying above the brewery, so what better thing to name the beer after.
Yep.
And another one is our Vale Best IPA, which is in a lot of pubs as well as in the Hot Pole on permanent. It's our 3.7% English hop copper ale, one of the original beers that they brewed as well.
So the reason why we're in the Hot Pole is because it's one of your pubs, isn't it? And you do quite a big range of beers at any one time here, don't you?
We do, yeah. The girls that run the pub, Hayley and Lindsay, keep the beers very well. We have 10 beers on, 10 cask beers on at one time. As I said, the Vale Best IPA and the Gravitas, which is the beer we're going to talk about in a bit, are both on permanent. And the other 8 change all the time, constantly. Going through beers from all around the UK, as well as beers from the brewery in the back, which is our little Aylesbury brew house. The backstory was that when they upgraded to the larger kit, they still wanted to brew on the original kit, did a few specials on it, but then it sort of they couldn't quite brew on it as well as keeping up with the demand for the beer, so it sort of sat redundant for about a year and a half. And then someone came up with a brilliant, no one can quite agree whose idea it was, but someone came up with the idea of putting it at the back of the Hot Pole, which was there, which is the brewery tap. It's the closest pub to the brewery.
Mm-hmm.
And brewing limited edition beers on it.
Right.
So the way that it works is up at Vale Brewery, as I said, we get 8 core beers, we brew monthly specials and do Christmas beers. Down at the Aylesbury Brew House, we only brew each beer recipe once and never ever again.
Wow.
So you are getting sort of 50 different beers a year of different styles, different tastes. Like last year we did a coconut stout at 4.8%. That won Milton Keynes Beer Festival last year.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, it was the year before actually. It's been quite a long time. And then we do American hopped beers. We also do sort of hoppy red ales, as well as doing sort of your easy drinking session beer. So anything on the range, we've brewed, we've done a ginger style beer as well. Brewed a Saison, which is a sort of a Flemish, French, Belgian style ale.
Yeah.
Because we only brew each recipe once, as long as, you know, we brew about 30 firkins at a time, as long as we can get rid of them, then we can brew whatever we like.
Wow. So, I mean, I remember when the brew house first opened and it was a kind of advertised as a how was it put?
a year-long beer festival. It's always kind of like a beer festival going on.
Exactly. I mean, you could come into the hot pole, and they'll always have sort of at least one or two of ours on, depending on how many they can get their hands on, because it's flying out at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you'll come in and there'll be a different beer on every single week from the Ailsley Brew House. It means that the people ask, you know, what if people really, really like a beer? What if they, you know, why can't you brew it again? We say, well, there's another one coming along. If you really like that beer, you know you have to drink as much of it as possible while it's still around.
That's it.
If you don't like it, then you know there's another one coming along, because that's the beauty of beer, is that not everyone likes the same style.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a different beer for everyone.
And it's also the fact that if you're going to buy it in bottles, that you're going to have one that you drink and one that you keep, because it's a limited edition.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. I've still got a case of we did a 5.5% New Zealand IPA, which is the second strongest beer the brewery either Vale or ABC have ever brewed.
Mm-hmm.
And I've still got a case of it in my parents' cellar, just sort of sitting there maturing up. And I'm going to crack one open at a time and see how it matures up.
So with beers, is it the same as like with wine, where it sort of gets better with age?
Yes and no. With sort of like a 3.8% golden session beer, it wouldn't keep in bottle. It's not sort of the type of beer to mature.
Right.
The beers that you would want to mature with bottle conditioned beer, so the sediment still in the bottom, are your darker, stronger, or hoppier beers, because the hops and the alcohol, the preservatives. And that's what's going to keep the longevity.
Right.
After a certain amount of time, then the same with wine, it starts going downhill. With ours, obviously, we've got best before dates on them. We'd say sort of after a couple of years, that the bottles are... If you keep them in a dark place, cool, dark, don't move them around, then yeah, after a couple of years, the stronger, hoppier, darker beers are the ones that will mature up. It might be quite noisy in here.
That's okay.
Yeah, this is the original Vale Brewery kit. At the moment, Hayden's brewing Pacific Arc, which is a predominantly New Zealand and American hopped beer, hence the reason Pacific Arc. Every beer sort of has a story behind it. And these are all the beers on the wall that we've produced so far this year.
This year?
This year, yeah, they're all the beers.
Wow,
that
how many is there? There's
probably about 21 different beers so far.
21, wow.
Yeah. And yeah, some of them weren't that long ago, but they seem a long time ago. there's a beer up there we brewed, it's the beer with no name. Named after the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly character,
yep.
Clint Eastwood.
Yep.
It's not actually called anything, and it's brewed with Mexican hops, and we put fresh chili in it as well. So a bit of a chili kick. We brewed beer with Norwegian hops, so we called it Amteric. And then, I'm trying to think what else we've got there. We've got New Holland, which is brewed with Australian hops. That's what Australia was originally called. It's called New Holland when the Dutch discovered it. And then we've also beers like Codex, which is what the original Beowulf transcript on. So that's sort of traditional English.
Okay.
And then we do Milds as well for May. Yeah, loads of different styles. And just to keep it interesting.
Lots of different inspiration there from other countries as
yes,
well.
Yes, yeah, it's Hayden is the one that comes up. Oh, I've come up with a couple of beer names. But, so we've got one coming up called Paragon.
Yep.
Which is sort of the epitome of perfection. We'll have to see how that goes. And yeah, he comes up with all the names and does all the designs as well. So we've got another beer called The Last Unknown, which is about North America.
Yep.
It's got smoked malt in it because the nomads that are over there used to smoke all of their meat. It's just little basic things like that, as opposed to them not really meaning anything. We like to have a bit of a story, and the pump clips as well, though each one's different. try and grab people's eye as well, because that's the other important thing.
And that also, I mean, there are collectors out there of these kind of designs anyway, it keeps the collectors happy too.
It does, yeah. You have a lot of people that come in and buy the beer and also sort of pick up a pump clip as well. We produce more, like, sort of enough pump clips for people to do that because they like. I mean, when people come in and pick up sort of mini pins and poly pins for parties and stuff, they always want the pump clip for it because they want people to be able to sort of show what beer it is.
Yeah, definitely.
So loads of different pump clips. It's all good fun. It makes it a little bit more interesting as opposed to just brewing three beers and doing a monthly special sort of thing. It's just, there's always something different going on.
That's brilliant. And that is what, changing it up like that really keeps everything fresh, so therefore people are not going to get samey, if you know what I mean. There's always going to be something different.
Exactly that. I mean, you go, the main thing is, you know, talking to publicans and customers as well, is they love the core Vale Brewery beers, but they also love the fact that whenever they come in, there's always something different on, and they'll try it if they like it. As I said earlier, they'll try and get as much of it as possible, and then a couple of weeks later they go, have you got any more of that? And they're like, no, it's a new one now. I'll try it, and then they love that one. So it's it's all good fun. That's our sort of unique selling point. I don't think we've found another brewery like Aylesbury Brewhouse that just does limited edition beers.
I can't think of one off the top of my head either, to be honest.
An actual brewery. I mean, there's other breweries out there that brew on the same kit under a different name and do sort of limited edition stuff. It's not the same. This is a completely different brewery. It's a completely different kit. Different brewer as well.
Yeah. So when you've got, let's say somebody else was, if you've got two or three people that were doing different brews, you can probably get their personality coming through on the...
Yeah, definitely. I mean, for instance, the next beer that we're doing for Vale Brewery is called Bullet, which is after the Steve McQueen film.
Yep.
And the pump clip that we've got for Vale Brewery is the exact copy of the poster, but instead of all the Steve McQueen names, it's the hops that are in it. So it's got Mosaic and Citra hops in it. And instead of a picture of Steve McQueen, it's got a picture of our head brewer Dave doing the same pose. Because, and that's a monthly special. It's something that we can mess around, and we hope people, when they see it, will make them chuckle.
That's brilliant.
But then obviously, as I said, different personality. I mean, Hayden loves Japanese culture, so you've got Musashi up there, which is brewed with Japanese hops. So it's something completely different. Definitely the personality, more eccentric sort of Aylesbury Brewhouse brews. And then the Vale beer is more traditional, but we still get to do a monthly special and something different. The thinking man's pint.
Right, so thanks for showing us around, Alex.
That's all right. Thanks very much for having us on the podcast.
It's an absolute pleasure, and hopefully we'll be dealing with you again in the future.
Definitely. Hopefully there's some things in the pipeline that we'll be able to work together on, as we've been discussing off air.
Awesome.
That was Alex Smith taking us around the little brew house at the back of the Hop Pole in Aylesbury. I'd like to thank Alex for taking the time out to take us round, although he does live above the Hop Pole.
Even still, you've got to thank him for taking you around the microbrewery, for sure.
So I think we better rate these beers before we leave.
Yeah, and whilst we can still remember them. So, boss, why don't you go first? Why don't you rate Pale 4?
Pale 4. Now, I really enjoyed that one. I think I'm going to give it a 4. It's a Pale 4 with 4 for the rating.
Well, from myself, I love IPAs. I'd probably said it more than enough throughout this particular show. But I'm going to give it 4.5 stars, I believe, because both of them that we've enjoyed this evening, mm-hmm. I've really enjoyed. And yeah, Pale 4.5 stars from me.
Now, Mr. Mallows, the Gravitas.
The Gravitas. Nice bottle as well, by the way. I'm actually going to go with my first, I believe, 5.
Wowzers.
It's an award winner for a reason. I love IPAs. This one just ticked all the boxes. I could get very drunk very quickly, and there's no bitter aftertaste. It's really light. I gravitated towards Gravitas.
And for myself, I think I will go with your previous score and give it a 4.5.
So essentially the gravitas is the winner of this particular show.
Of this show, yeah.
It's a bold statement. But both were absolutely fantastic. I mean,
they were.
Yeah.
Awesome beers. And hopefully with our review shows, we're going to review some awesome beers right along the flow of our show.
And I'm going to try and do some research before the next one so you don't just hear citrusy session beer and other generic puns.
Spanhead Productions are a small independent sound recording company based in rural Hertfordshire. We specialise in creating content for all your podcasting needs, whether it be field recordings, vox pops, or capturing the atmosphere during social events. Editing is a very time-consuming job, so Spanhead Productions are on hand to take away some of the burden for you. Just advise us on how you'd like your content to sound, and we will do the rest. We can even help you design and manage a website for your podcast too. Visit us now, spanheadproductions.weebly.com. That's spamheadproductions.weebly.com.
I think that's enough from us rambling on. So I'd like to say again thanks to Ben Marston and Alex Smith from Tring Brewery and Vale Brewery, and also to thank Ben for the crate of beer that he supplied as well, not just for consumption. They will be used for beer reviews in the future, and I'll get Ben back on the phone to tell us about the different beers. One of them is a stout.
Ooh, happy days.
And we've got a few of those, mainly because I said we were partial to stout, so he put more than he should do in the crate.
I don't see that being a problem. So, it's a drink and it's dinner.
Yeah, a meal in itself.
But where there's doubles and triples of the same beer, they may get drunk today.
I'm not too sure about today, but
I'm making obscene gestures at him right now, just so you know, just to fill you in on the awkward silence.
Would also like to thank the guys at GBBF. I know we thanked them in the piece that we played in, but it's worth thanking them again for allowing us to tag along at the GBBF. As I say, second year in a row that we've been able to go along and do a podcast from there. And long may we go to these events.
Yeah, 100%. I'm looking for the hat trick next year.
So thanks again to everyone out there for listening, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Ciao, ciao.
Well, that about wraps it up for this episode of The Garbage Pod Tap Room. Be sure to visit www.thegarbagepod.weebly.com for the show notes for this or any other episode. Just look for the relevant tab on the menu. Let us know what you think of the show.
Send an email to garbagepod@virginmedia.com.
Because
your input is our output.
Or you can use the social media icons at the top of the page that include Twitter and Facebook. If you would like to subscribe to any of our podcasts, you can do so via iTunes, the RSS feed, and also TuneIn and Stitcher On Demand Radio. Don't forget to rate and review us. You can also listen to rebroadcasts of all our shows on the Awake Radio group. You can find a link on our podcast pages. If you like what we're doing here, then why not buy us a pint by clicking on the donate button on any of the podcast pages, and don't forget to spread the word about us.
The Garbage Pod is a Spamhead production.